Word of God, speaking in ancient times about the coming kingdom of God. Our first reading is from Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limits to the wholeness he brings. He'll rule from the historic David throne over that promised kingdom. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and keep it going with fair dealing and right living, beginning now and lasting always. The zeal of God of the angel armies will do all this. And then our second reading, also from the Hebrew Testament, Psalm 118, verses 22 through 29. The stone that masons discarded as flawed is now the capstone. This is God's work. We rub our eyes, we can hardly believe it. This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive. Salvation now, God. Salvation now. Oh yes, God, a free and full life. Blessed are you who enter in God's name. From God's house we bless you. God is God. He has bathed us in light. Festoon the shrine with garlands. Hang colored banners above the altar. You are my God, and I thank you. Oh my God, I lift high your praise. Thank God. He's so good. His love never quits. Here ends our scripture reading. May we sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this morning. There are many stories about Palm Sunday. I want to tell you that at a time it was a Palm Sunday, and little seven-year-old Timothy had to stay home because of his sore throat, and they got a babysitter that morning, and the rest of the family went to church. Now, when the family returned home, they were carrying several palm branches, as you saw this morning. And of course, little Timothy didn't understand all this, so he said, "What's this all about? What's this?" And Dad thought this was a teaching moment, so he tried to explain. He said, "Well, Timothy, you must understand that people waved these branches over Jesus' head as he walked by." "Ah, when you know it," the little boy complained. "The one Sunday I can't go to church, Jesus shows up." On the first Palm Sunday, long ago, Jesus and his disciples were entering Jerusalem, and we know now it was for the very last time. They were part of the throngs of people moving into Jerusalem, as their ancestors also did, for Passover. It was an annual feast. And at that occasion, while they were walking up to the temple, they would be singing psalms and songs of joy. Now, we know today that Psalm 118, included in the Hebrew Testament, was actually one of those processional songs. Because the people didn't have the type of transport we have today, here and there a rare donkey, the rest of them were walking to the temple. And so that's what happened on a great festive day like this. People would walk together. They would come out of the little side roads. They would join up and they would talk a little bit. And then some they would start singing. And they had several of these processional psalms. And as other people join, the psalm would grow louder and louder the closer they came to the temple. And so this morning, this specific day, this was definitely one of the processional hymns that the people sang, because indeed they were on their way to the temple, as Jesus also was. What happened then? We can imagine time before mass media, but many people heard about Jesus. Many even saw him up in Galilee, wherever he went. The story spread, the rumor spread. And while this procession was taking place, not specially arranged for Jesus, oh no, that was the custom. As this annual procession was taking place, some people said, "Oh, who's that?" And they actually recognized, yeah, that's that prophet from Northern Galilee. Yeah, that's Jesus. And when that happened, they started doing, "How can we honor him? It is Jesus." And they spread their clothes, and even they put their palms on the road and cheered him with shouts, like, for instance, "Blessed are you who enter in God's name. From God's house we bless you. Hosanna for the Son of David." You get it? To the chagrin of the priests, not liking the scene at all. Can you hear, can you feel the tension building? And now suddenly they who wore the robes and the clothes and the honors, suddenly the crowd in the procession turned and they started shouting songs of recognition. "Hosanna, the Son of David." It was an electrifying moment. All faces were now turned, all feet underway to Jerusalem, the temple, and they were going to celebrate this annual holiday, the Passover, not because Jesus was there, but they were celebrating the fact that their ancestors were delivered out of slavery. The Exodus, celebrated year after year, when they came from Egypt in the first instance. Well, sounds as if they're celebrating liberty, but that's unfortunately not true. You see, they were not free. They were under the heel of Rome. It was a dangerous time. And the Romans were watching because they were expecting an uproar. They knew there might be political trouble coming for them, because that's the time when the people celebrated and also expressed their hate for the Romans. And the Romans were indeed hard taskmasters. They claimed high taxes and they offered very little in exchange. What was the climate then? The people were hoping for, they were screaming for, they were yearning for real change. They wanted someone, anyone, to lead them to a better life. And those who were part of the procession that day, don't you think they were all just happy and pleased to see Jesus? There was another atmosphere, a different factors to remember. Because amongst the crowd were some political activists. And this was their chance to stoke the fires against the Romans. So they were walking and singing, but at the same time they were stirring the pot of hatred against the Romans. And, well, for the political activists, we do understand their way of thinking. because they heard rumors that this Jesus was a powerful man. And they immediately, as we still do in our times, translated Jesus into their way of thinking. And maybe he will bring them all together and they'll get their weapons ready, and with force they will get rid of the Romans, and there would be a bloody war, and Jesus might be the one to lead that war. Free us, Jesus, free us. Hosanna, make us free. But they were talking political language. They waved branches. Others were also waving branches, a bit closer to home, because the stories were spreading in those days. This Jesus is doing miracles. Do you hear the story? He actually healed sick people. What? My mom is sick. She's about to die. Hosanna! Hosanna! You sense? Jesus, come, we are suffering. My people are dying. Come, heal us, heal us. You see, they had a totally different reason for waving their palm branches when Jesus passed by. And then, of course, you can imagine it, there was always what we call in our times a peanut gallery. Onlookers, not interested. They didn't like this religious to-do anyway. Some of them even hated it, but so well, it's a parade. As we may do in the streets of New York, no matter which parade passes by, we're going to stand and look, and we're going to wave and do whatever. So they were also represented. And deep inside, the hope that this Jesus would be their earthly king. What a disappointment. Sadly, their high hopes were only that. But they were oh so short-sighted. All of them underestimated who Jesus was. They looked at the world only from their own perspective. And the actions of Jesus in those days were the direct opposite of what they had hoped for and what they had expected. And so little did they understand the significance, also the symbolism of the events taking place at that time in history. Hear this. There were two types of animals in those days that you would ride on. The poor people, the ordinary people, had donkeys, and they could ride on a donkey. But if you had some wealth, if you had some strength, you could afford a horse. Then you would ride on a horse. And especially for the people of power, that was a symbol of the conquerors. See the symbolism? Jesus did not arrive on a horse. Jesus arrived on the symbol of humility, a donkey. What's the message behind it? I am not an earthly king. I come as a humble servant. I'm not a warrior king. Jesus had a different understanding and different goals in sight. He already knew that his kingdom was not from this world. The proverbial grain of wheat was about to be engulfed by darkness, midnight. And the grain of wheat only had to die to germinate and to produce new life. New life, not only for them, but for countless millions to follow. Jerusalem and its people did not understand it then. But who were they actually welcoming? They were welcoming the Prince of Peace, the forerunner of the coming kingdom of God. They were welcoming the one on a humble donkey, already crowned in God's heart as the Prince of Peace. He would influence the course of world history forever. The people who originally welcomed the Prince of Peace would soon melt away into the bigger crowds. And the news is sad. Their tune will change soon. Hosanna will become crucify. Easy to shout. For them it was easy to change from left to right and right to left. But it's much harder to follow. Of course, we know those bumper stickers. Honk if you love Jesus. You seen them? I think we all know them. I've seen them everywhere. Honk if you love Jesus. Let me suggest a different bumper sticker. Follow if you love Jesus. Anyone can honk. Even in our times, the excitement of special moments can take hold of us. At times, visions and dreams fill us with great enthusiasm and a fresh burst of energy. And a particular project can inspire us to do great things and to go far beyond the call of duty to make dreams come true. Oh, we have so many ideals and dreams and hopes represented in this little church of ours. Oh, how we pray. Oh, how we work. Oh, how we seek God with us. Let us survive these bad economic times. Let us go into your future as your people. Follow. Enthusiasm easily fades. Interests get lost. Some felt about Jesus at Golgotha. It was great while it lasted. But now it's gone. It's easy to shout. It's not easy to follow. Brother and sister in Christ, the Jesus movement started with a small group of men and women and would grow person by person through the ages until it reached the furthest ends of the world. That ragtag army eventually grew into countless millions and is still growing this very day. Where are they? Where are they? Oh, they are building hospitals in Haiti. In Southern America, they are taking care of those who were struck by disaster. They are serving everywhere, in hospitals, in universities, in schools. They are following the great healer, healing the wounded, setting at liberty captive peoples, bringing people from darkness into light. So today we again welcome Jesus, not as underway to execution, but as our hope, still our hope for peace and for the coming of God's kingdom on earth. We believe that the ancient prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, that a son would be born to us, that authority would rest upon his shoulders, and that he would recognize, that we would recognize him as the Prince of Peace. I believe amongst the many names that we call Jesus, that he is indeed a man of peace, a prince of peace. And all that became reality in the birth, the ministry, the sacrifice, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And every time when you and I pray the Lord's Prayer, we include something that we seldom think about. Sadly, sometimes we say the Lord's Prayer so many times that we say it without thinking. We just say it. Why? Because we say it. Why do you say it? Well, it's tradition, we say it. But every time when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it is a prayer, let your kingdom come. It's a prayer of action. It's a prayer of challenge. It's a prayer of devotion. Let your kingdom come and let me be part of letting your kingdom come. We pray, therefore, for a world where justice and peace will forever ban the misery, the pain, and the injustice of war, the poverty, and the helplessness of a suffering world. Isaiah's vision tells of endless peace in a world governed by God's love and peace. I'm not making it up. It is the Word of God in our midst. We grew up with it. It is time that we begin to trust what we pray. Let your kingdom come, O God. I give myself as part of the response, of the answer. Here I am. Use me. Just let your kingdom come. Across the world, people are yearning, hoping, and praying for peace. The first Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem, welcomed as the Prince of Peace. And today we once again celebrate the entrance of Jesus, not into Jerusalem, but into our hearts, into our lives, into our hopes, into our prayers, into our dreams, as we once again recognize and welcome Jesus on this Palm Sunday as our hope for the future. Our Prince of Peace. The message of the Prince of Peace resonated through the ages, and in our times we still follow the Prince's call for the coming kingdom of God. We long for a time when nations will go to war no more, when hate will melt away in the presence of love, when we will understand one another, when we will love one another for Jesus' sake. Because this is who we are. God within us, beckoning us, calling us to a better future, to a better tomorrow for us, for our country, for the world, for our children and their children. One day, we shall hate each other no more. And I think it's that longing that gave birth to the prayer for peace. We're going to sing it as our closing hymn this morning. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as our Father, brothers all are we. Let we walk with my brother in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now with every step I take. Let this be my solemn vow to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin in me. In spite of confusion, opposition, darkness, we're working, waiting, hoping, yearning for that day to come. Therefore, we hail the power of Jesus' name as we wave our palms today. Today, we not only honor his entry into Jerusalem, but his entry into our world. Oh, let there be peace on earth, and let it, oh God, let it begin with me.
Amen.